being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I had an epiphany on Wednesday. Our vocabulary word, epiphany with a small e, a manifestation, a sudden showing of something startling. It was the solemn mass for St. Joseph's solemnity, and I was in the sanctuary at my chair. I was reading St. Augustine's sermon. Not that Father McGuire's sermon wasn't enough, but was a very nice sermon. But the church has us clergy read an extra sermon or two in our daily prayers called the breviary, just to keep us on track. And you know how sermons go. Sometimes you have to really concentrate if you're going to stay with it. St. Augustine, his Latin can be difficult, but his thoughts are sublime. And he likes to solve problems when he preaches. So there's often, if you stay with him, a eureka moment to reward you. So there he was at the solemn mass, slowly slogging my way through that day's sermon selection, taken from St. Augustine's book on the harmony of the Gospels, it is called. And St. Augustine is talking about our Lord's two genealogies. We read one of them for the Nativity of Mary in September. Matthew gives one and Luke gives another, and they seem to contradict each other when they come to Joseph. Who was his father, Heli or Jacob? Well, Augustine says an easy solution could be that Joseph had two fathers, the one by whom he was begotten, the flesh, and the other by whom he was adopted. And then the light went on. Brilliant. The whole story is one of adoption. Why did God become man? The incarnation. Why did our Lord die upon the cross? The redemption. Why? So that we might be, are you ready for it? The adopted children of God. He has but one son from all eternity, his word in time, Jesus Christ. But he has many children who are brethren to Jesus. How? By baptism. We are adopted into God's family. God chose an earthly father for his son named Joseph. So Jesus, therefore, you might say gets the ball rolling. He has an adoptive father. He who came into this world to arrange adoption papers for us all, our baptismal certificate. Now, if ever you've been involved in one, adoptions are notoriously difficult affairs to arrange, but they are an assured proof of love on the part of parents who adopt a child. Still, natural adoptions are as nothing in comparison with our Lord's adoption of us, because our adoption papers are signed in blood. So Joseph adopts Jesus. He accepts Christ from his birth as his own son, taking care of him, treating him just as a father would treat his son. But there is more. St. Joseph was far more father to Jesus than an adoptive father ever could be for the boy he adopts. But it would be more exact to say that St. Joseph was adopted by Jesus. So it was a kind of a double adoption in the Holy Family. And Scripture, which then already says that Joseph himself was adopted as a boy growing up, now presents to us Joseph, and in what context? It's another epiphany or a manifestation of the Blessed Trinity. The heavens are opened. The Father speaks. The Holy Ghost is seen as a dove hovering overhead, and our Lord is being baptized. Baptism is all about adoption. Whose name gets in the story? Saint Joseph, there at the River Jordan, because baptism is the sacrament of adoption. The short little gospel of Saint Joseph's solemnity has it all. But there's another sacrament which comes up today, and none, I think, more targeted than holy matrimony. Were Our Lady and Saint Joseph truly man and wife? Indeed. The feast day of their nuptials, so-called, is in January, the 23rd of that month. Their marriage was not only a true one, but it was, St. Augustine says, a perfect one, with its three qualities. Offspring, that's the purpose of marriage, to have children. Secondly, loyalty. That's a lovely word. And how far more lovely would this world be were more spouses loyal to each other. The concept is almost lost to us today. Loyalty. And then sacrament. The offspring is our Lord himself. Loyalty in the utter faithfulness of Mary and Joseph to each other. There's no adultery. And sacrament, there is no divorce. But by mutual consent, in view of the incarnation, theirs was a virginal marriage. Sometimes that's called a Josephite marriage. And in this sense, they lived together in perfect virginity. A kind of a form of this, you know, is lived traditionally by couples who have a grave reason to remain together, usually because they have children to take care of, but they cannot marry each other. And so we say to live together as brother and sister in the promise of purity. And how many heroic parents who are not marriage partners to each other have made this vow and have lived this way. And to think that Francis Bergoglio, you wonder if he even believes in God, he almost seems a communist, intent upon the destruction of what is left of Christian Europe, the small Christian nation states, by bringing in the unbaptized, the Mohammedans. And one day, indeed, there will be Sharia law for them. Well, last week, he issued that exhortation, it was earth-shattering, called Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love. This Argentinian Antichrist, in his haste to promote adultery, to show how up-to-date he is, oh no, that's how people are today, actually criticized couples who made and kept this brother-sister vow in order to avoid sin and to respect the original marriage vow. So eager is Francis to acknowledge adultery in modern life today, even as he denies what Christian marriage symbolizes, the loyalty, the love of Christ for his spouse, one spouse, the church, those who are in Christ Jesus, with his four marks of one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, as we pray each Sunday at the Creed, and its purpose, very clear, to engender children adopted sons and daughters of God, children for heaven. But back to Joseph. His marriage with Mary, St. Thomas Aquinas says, was especially designed for this purpose, that the child, the Son of God, should be received and brought up in the context of a marriage, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. St. Augustine says that Joseph is more intimately Christ's father, since Jesus was born of his wife, the Virgin Mary, than if he had been born of some other woman and then taken in and adopted by Joseph. So these terms we use about him, foster father, adoptive father, do tell us something of this great saint, but not everything. You see, about the crowned head of Joseph, head of the Holy Family, whom God's Son called Father, and whom the Mother of God not only loved and depended upon, but obeyed as her husband. About his haloed head, there hangs still an air of mystery. But let us review our catechism, what we believe. Did Jesus then have an earthly father? No, Jesus had no earthly father, but St. Joseph, the virgin spouse of Mary, was his foster father. Although St. Joseph was not the real father of Jesus, the catechism explains, no father ever had more love and more care for his own son than St. Joseph had for the divine child. And Jesus, in turn, loved Joseph as tenderly as any child loves its father, and obeyed his slightest wish. What a thought, his slightest wish. Mary even calls Joseph father of Jesus. Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing, she says, when they finally meet at the temple after the 3 days' loss. We should have a special devotion to St. Joseph, remembering the words of the great Teresa of Avila, that she could not recall ever having asked him for a favor without obtaining it. St. Joseph, an adopted son himself, he adopts the Son of God and also his spouse, the Church, over whom he stands as protector and patron. The Son who came to see to our adoption as children of God, not through lawyers, but through love. And let love today have the last word. Joseph did not love our Lord, one author says, any the less than if he had been his natural son. He loved him more because grace is stronger than nature. Think of that. That makes sense. And how many times did he hold the little child on his knee and carry him in his arms, St. Bernard says. And how often did he kiss him and press his little head close to his heart? Father Faber, his love for Jesus was so intense and so holy that if you parceled it out and shared it among all the parents in this world, it would give them more happiness than they could imagine. It is the strongest and the holiest father love that has ever existed. And even if it could be shared by every father on earth, it would still not be exhausted. St. Joseph, God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.